Open your Bibles, if you will, please, to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I want to read to you a story about a man you've heard of named Bartimaeus, and then give you the topic. Luke 18, verse 35, reads as follows. Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that is Jesus, a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight, for your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. My topic today is your defining moments. Be still and know that I am God. And a lesson from blind, or the man formerly blind, Bartimaeus. Now the Lord is saying a lot and doing a lot in these last days. We recognize that. And we recognize also in this world that there are natural, there are community, there are political disasters. Disasters at every level. In nature, in community, in politics, disasters, trouble all around us. Violence in our city, every major city, this happens, sadly, all the time. And it's such that you might say, well, the devil is busy. But that would be wrong to conclude that. Because my Bible says that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. We don't dismiss that there is disaster and that there is trouble. We see it. We live it. But we don't stop there. We don't conclude that what the devil is doing is all that what's happening in our community. Because of what Jesus, what the Bible says, that grace is abounding. And so we must maintain a kingdom perspective at all times. Yes. So I must maintain a kingdom perspective at all times. Which is for us, where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Yes, sir. Yes. So while the devil may be busy, God is busier than the devil. Yes. Come on, somebody. Yes. God's doing more. Say, God is doing more.
God is doing more.
We have to focus on that. Because Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, love can grow cold. When you encounter so much evil and iniquity and you dwell on it and watch the news and every form of the news and day and night, then it has an effect on you.
That's right.
It can dull you. We don't become insensitized or desensitized to it. We see it, but we don't conclude that sin is abounding more than grace is abounding. And so part of the reason why you've had a consecration is that you could recover a kingdom perspective.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you have become overwhelmed with your circumstances, with what you see around you, even if it's touched your family, that's very impactful. But you must still have the perspective that grace is abounding. Say, the grace of God is abounding. Kingdom people, then we maintain perspective. And God has given us a way to do that. And what you've been doing the past 21 days is a major part of how you both maintain kingdom perspective and how you then are transformed to be a kingdom woman or kingdom man and then make a difference. Let's connect these dots. So first of all, pastor called for a consecration. And then the consecration began. And it went for 21 days. It had prayer, there was reading of scripture, whatever consecrations, you know, comprised, you did that. You went from there to this, now you've sown yourself into consecration, and now you're reaping on this end of it. A harvest. Sowing, reaping. The Bible says that for as long as the earth remains, there shall be winter and summer and heat and cold and seed time and harvest. Everything happens on the principle of harvest.
Yes, sir.
Coming from seed time. You've sown yourself. And now on this, the last day, the final day of the consecration, we can now celebrate.
Hallelujah.
But listen, we're not celebrating that we went through a consecration. We are celebrating that we have been consecrated. That's a big difference now. You know, folks say, we're going to have revival. When's the revival? Next Tuesday through Friday. No, those are revival meetings. It remains to be seen if you shall have revival. So you had a consecration season, but the purpose was to become consecrated, which is set apart, sanctified. And so you've been changed by this encounter. Say,
I've been changed
by the encounter. And so we celebrate. Not just we went through it and got to the end of it, but what God did through it. And now this is a harvest celebration, and we're celebrating the harvest of what God has done in our lives. Amen? You've been reformed. You've been revived. You've been renewed. You have sown into the Spirit, and you're reaping life out of it now. Amen? Now, let me give you a 21st century parable. Now, if you're an iPhone user, everybody got an iPhone or Android, everybody got some kind of phone. Even some flip phones are still in the midst. If you got a flip phone, don't let nobody mock you. You know why? Your phone is paid for. It don't cost you much every month to have it. So don't let those people get on you about your non-smartphone. I got a paid for phone. But if you are an iPhone user, then you may know last week they came out with a new operating system called iOS 11. And every computer and every phone, they give you updates. But here's the thing about updates. There are two kinds of updates. There are point updates, and there are version updates. So we had 10.1, 10.3, 10.5, but then 11 came out. So there's point updates that are minor. They just tweak the system.
Yes, sir.
They fix the system. They fix bugs and plug problems. But the version updates is a whole new system. Now, the thing is, my parable is that in this consecration, you may have thought this was a point upgrade. But this is designed by God to be a version upgrade. that God wants to change you. He wants you to change. He doesn't want you to just adapt something. Consecrations are not for adaptation and modification. Consecrations are for radical change. Say radical change. And so this upgrade that's happened with the iPhone to from 10 to 11 is a version upgrade. Now, let me tell you, it's actually better. 11 is better than 10. But people are saying, I don't know, because it messed my phone up. My apps are not working. My favorite app is broken. But it's not the version update that is at fault. What's at fault is you did not do the point updates like they told you. When you had the old system, you didn't maintain it. Didn't update it, didn't check. And so now they've gone for the version update, and now that old stuff is not working anymore. Get my point? In this consecration, every consecration has lots of challenges. You learn stuff. You find out things. You figure out stuff fall out of you. Like, that was in there? And the thing is, because God is saying, I want you to change versions. I don't want you just to modify. I need you to change. And what I am bringing into your life, that old stuff is not compatible anymore. A friend of mine on Facebook, he posted, said, OS 11 messed up his phone, and he's crying out on Facebook. I said, brother, here's what's happening here. 11 is new wine. And what you got in your phone now is old wine skin. Okay? So you're trying to get something new to work with something old. And so in a consecration, you find out. You come face to face with the reality that what God requires, you have to stand up and meet him at a place of deeper commitment. That the casual approach won't work. The business as usual won't work. See, this whole consecration, understand this, that we're not talking about going back to business as usual. If you go back to business as usual, we've missed the whole point. We've actually wasted 21 days if all we do is go back to business as usual. So what God is doing, and has already done really, is that he has given us an opportunity to upgrade in version. All right. And he's already done that. He's actually done that. Now, any friction that you're feeling, all right, any difficulty that you're sensing, yeah, is nothing wrong with the system. Wow. Nothing wrong with the update. You've got some old stuff, all right, that still need to be updated in you. Wow. Jesus said this. Jesus said two things. Jesus said, every branch in me will bear fruit. Right. He said, and then every branch that bears fruit, I'm going to prune it, right, that it brings forth more fruit. Right. And then he said, and the branches that bear no fruit, uh-oh, he says, will be purged. Right. Now watch this. Jesus said, I'm going to prune the good stuff. I'm going to cut away the bad stuff. The bottom line is this. Everything gets cut. Everything is cut. The good stuff in your life, he cuts it to make it more productive. The useful stuff in your life, he cuts it off. And this is what happens when you're in consecration, when there's a version update. That God's aim is not to grieve you, is not to burden you. He actually wants to liberate us. Yeah. We have a tree in our front yard that was looking pretty bad. It had dead limbs in it. The tree is grown, is wildly growing in the neighbor's yard. Our tree was in our yard, neighbor's yard. Our tree was everywhere. And it was so big until it couldn't support all the branches. And so some were dying. We had a man come in and he pruned that tree and he purged that tree. And after he finished, it looked terrible. It looked bad, like, you know, messed up my tree. That man went and ruined my tree. But I found out. We were leaving the driveway yesterday. Just leaving and looked up and said, you know, that tree is looking pretty good right by now. We thought that tree was ruined. But in fact, the pruning saved the tree. Because all those dead branches, the tree was trying to support all that dead stuff. And it was sapping energy from it. It was sapping the sap. It was misusing the resources. And so by cutting out all the dead wood and cutting back the good wood, the tree regained vitality and could better use what it already had. In this consecration, I believe, I know, God has pruned and God has purged. The thing is, you got to recognize what God has pruned and what God has purged. And if God purged something in you and you're still hanging on to it, then you got to finish the consecration. Because again, we celebrated not that we went through 21 days and it's now October 1st and we're finished. Yeah, you finished, but it's like commencement. Right? You finished school just to start a journey. Yeah. See, I have finished. I have finished. Only to begin at a higher level. Amen? Let's talk about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a man whom the Lord wanted to upgrade. Wanted to give him a not a point upgrade, because when you're blind and you're begging and you're poor, modification won't do.
Yes, sir.
Modification is not going to help you. So look at the text. The Bible says here in Luke 18, again, it said that as Christ was coming near Jericho, that there was this man, Bartimaeus, sitting by the road. You saw that. And hearing the multitude pass. Now he's blind. He has to hear. He has to sense. He can't see, obviously. So he asked, what does this mean? And they told him, Jesus is passing by. Now, in your defining moments, and when you're going to know that God is God, you got to understand when to seize the moment. So it said, Bartimaeus, Jesus is passing by. He thought, oh, for you, he's passing by. For me, it's my opportunity. For me, it's my time. It's my time to receive from God. So he's passing by for you, but not for me. That's the first thing. Don't let Jesus pass by. Come on, somebody. He's passing by. Oh, not by me. Not when I'm blind and poor and begging. Now, look, watch this now. Now, the problem was when they said to him, be quiet. The reason was in context in that day. It was inappropriate for disabled people to speak out. Because they were deemed to have been cursed. That you wouldn't be in this condition if you serve God. And so the thinking was, disabled people and such, that there's a reason why you're in this condition, so just be quiet, stay out of sight. The protocol for Bartimaeus was to be quiet. That's what he said, man, be quiet. He said, Jesus, have mercy on me. Hey, man. Be quiet. But he knew, he recognized it was his moment.
All right.
Amen. Be still and know that I am God.
Yes.
Which means to Bartimaeus, I can't let Jesus pass by. So the Bible says, even against protocol, even against the status quo, Bartimaeus said, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes.
Now recognize this too. Again, they were dishonored people. They were not people who were recognized. Again, they were thought of being cursed. They were ignored. They were passed over. But I love what the text says in Luke chapter 18, that when Bartimaeus raised his voice again and said, have mercy on me. The Bible says that in verse 40, so Jesus stood still. Jesus stopped for a man that nobody else would stop for. Jesus dignified a man just by stopping when he heard his name. You know, people ignore people in our society. Hey, we're ignoring people in Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico. Don't get, but they're U.S. citizens, y'all. So we have to recognize in your time, in your life, in your season, don't let the status quo dictate to you your response to Jesus. And so the Bible says Jesus stood still and said, and came to the man, said, bring him over here. What do you want me to do for you? Isn't that something? Out of all the people who were clamoring for Jesus' attention, he recognized faith in this man. He wasn't only a man who was desperate, but a man with faith. Your desperation, God cares about that. Hear me now, hear my heart. God cares about you being desperate. He sees you when you cry and when you moan and groan. But it takes faith to get his attention, to move on your behalf. Without faith, it is what?
Impossible.
I don't care if you're rich, poor, in the middle. You need faith in God. So don't let the circumstance sap your energy and take away your resolve to where you let Jesus pass by.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Lift up your voice.
Amen.
Say, Jesus, have mercy on me.
Jesus, have mercy.
Say that. Jesus, have mercy on me. And so Jesus stopped. He stood still. And by doing so, he dignified the man. And then he said, what do you want? He said, I want to receive my sight. He said, well, you have your sight. Because you want it. And you believe I can do it. You've got it. You know, sometimes the things God does is sovereign. But sometimes God just wants you to ask him. Matter of fact, most of the time, the protocol is you must ask to receive. But see, it's our conditions that keep us from asking. It's that we don't recognize our defining moments. And that because we haven't had the version upgrade, we don't understand what God's doing now. Things in us are keeping us from seeing Jesus clearly. That's why we have consecration, to clear the clutter out. That we can see what God is doing. Amen? So Jesus said, what do you want? Again, he said, I want to have my sight. Jesus said, receive your sight. He said, then your faith has made you well. See, your faith in God is what causes God, helps God to help you. God can do it without your help. If he wants, he does it. Thank God, it's called mercy. You know, mercy is a gift before and after faith. I've tried to have faith and fall on my face sometime, and God still helped me. That's called mercy. My projects, my well-planned projects have come to nothing sometime, and God still helped me. That's called mercy. But he expects me still to trust him. He expects me to have faith in him. Remember when Peter was in the boat and Jesus was walking by and the storm was raging and that they saw Christ and were afraid, and then he said, "Don't be afraid, it's me," Jesus said. And Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come." Now, Peter's kind of a impetuous kind of guy. He may just want to challenge, "If you're really Jesus, you know, let me, tell me to come out here on the water." Well, come on. Jesus said one word, "Come." But Peter latched on to that one word in the midst of a storm. Stepped out of the boat and went to Jesus. And hear me, Peter did not walk on water. He walked on the word, "Come." People can't walk on water. But you can walk on the word that says, "Come." You can walk through any circumstance, any situation, you can go through it on the word of God. So Peter was walking on water because he walked on the word that said, "Come." But when Peter looked up and saw the circumstances, looked away from Jesus and to the storm and to the water, he began to sink. But he was close enough to Jesus where Jesus reached out his hand and saved him from sinking. But watch what Jesus said, though. Watch this. Christ did not say, "Peter, man, you almost made it. Look at you, man. You almost made it walking on water." Jesus said, he said, "No, no, where's your faith? Why did you doubt me? Why did you doubt me? Why are you sinking?" The thing is, Jesus expects you to believe him. He don't expect you to go halfway. He doesn't expect you to go part ways or almost all the way, because he has enough power to bring you all the way through. So he wants you to trust him all the way through. So Bartimaeus had that kind of faith. For a man, again, who was blind and poor and begging, reduced to begging. I can't imagine being blind. I can't imagine being blind and poor and being forced to beg. And there was no safety net back then. No social safety net back then. And so he was actually known as Blind Bartimaeus. Folk thought his first name was Blind. He had to tell folk, my first name ain't Blind. My first name is Bartimaeus. Sometimes people will define you by your circumstance. Don't let people define you. You know. Yeah, listen, I grew up in this city. I grew up at 34th and Sherman Drive. I grew up in Hallville. Went to Indianapolis Public Schools. Poor guy. You must have been at risk. At risk? What are you talking about? Boy, you black, you in the hood. That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean, we got to stop defining people and putting names in front of their name. Got to give people hope. Because everybody in the hood is not trying to be a criminal. Everybody poor doesn't have low character. Don't change my first name. My name is Brian. And I'm back to transform the hood. I came back to change the hood. Hallelujah. Been doing that for 35 years. Because I believe that Jesus gives the kind of hope everybody needs. Everyone needs defining moments. And it comes by letting God be God, being still, and still also means sometimes crying out to God. Because when you let Jesus have his way, and you let that version update take place in your life, your life changes. Your life changes. And nothing else would change a life like Jesus. I believe in everything we're doing. We do media camps for youth. We do outreach in the prisons. We feed people. All that we do, we thank God for that. But we do it all with the grace of God. We put Jesus' name on all that. Because he's the one that brings the version update. All our programs are point updates. And they're needed. They are needed. But Jesus does the version update in people. Amen? So we don't dismiss the work we do because it's necessary. People need to be fed. But we feed them in the name of Jesus. We feed them with the hope and expectation that they'll do what Bartimaeus did. Recognize that their help is passing by, but don't let Jesus pass by. Now, let's finish up on this. So Jesus healed the man. Through faith he received it. Restored the man's dignity. He received a miracle. He received his sight. He received dignity. I like that. His miracle, his sight, and his dignity. We have to dignify people. Especially poor folk. Got to dignify people. And, you know, don't ever give somebody something you wouldn't want for yourself. I got these old clothes all broke down stuff and give it to poor people. Don't give them the broke down stuff. Give them stuff you wouldn't mind having, even if it's used. You know, in our media camp we do for youth, we had an opportunity to receive some donations of computers. I said, well, thank you, but those are too old for us. We're doing media production over here. And that thing was strained and choked on the videos we produce, you know. But they're just kids. Yes, but they're doing professional level work. We have expectation. We're doing excellence over here. We take used equipment, but it has to be the best used equipment you have. But eventually somebody gave us enough money to buy new equipment. Quick testimony, wrap up here. How God gives us defining moments. How the Lord reminds us how to be still. I was fretting about a program some years ago, a program lacking resources, lacking systems, computers, and cameras to help our kids. I was fretting about that. God says, be still. Trust me. An opportunity came along to receive some help. The help came in. But here's the best part. I went to the Apple store up at the Fashion Mall. Wrote a check for $14,000. And they brought a cart out with 12 computers on it, iPads on it. Here's the fun part, though. The Apple store is so packed and jammed all the time. When they brought that cart through, it was like the Red Sea party. All they had to stand aside. It rolled our computers out from the back. I thought, thank you, Jesus, for the kids, for the youth, to dignify, to empower. That's what Jesus does. He always empowers. And so here at the beginning, at the end of this consecration now, and the beginning of a harvest, what are you prepared to ask? What are you prepared to ask Jesus to do for you? And are you ready for the upgrades? Because after the version upgrades, there are some point updates.
That's right.
Because God never is finished with us.
That's
good. We're never finished growing. We're never finished developing. So there's always another dimension, another level. From all that God has done, he's still doing more. From all we've seen God do, he can still do more. So I want to challenge you and encourage you today to recognize your defining moments. Be still and know that God is God. Recognize that God wants change in our lives. He wants us to allow him to do what he only can do.
Yes.
And like Bartimaeus, don't let Jesus pass by. Lift your voice. And when Christ stops and says, what do you want? Tell him what you need. Because he'll give you what you ask, but he'll attach to that instructions. Your God attaches instructions.
That's good.
When God will bless you, it's his way of leading you. He'll bless you and give you instruction. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for this time of teaching, for this time of rejoicing and recognizing your grace and your power and your provision. Thank you, Father God, that in this consecration, your people have sown into the Spirit and are reaping life. And with that, Lord God, as they go to another level, there come new responsibility. There come new requirements. There comes, Lord God, new assignments. And thank you for grace that abounds. That as we go out in our communities and continue to serve and we see the misery and encounter the madness, Lord, we have that consolation. No matter what we see in front of us that's bad, there's more of you. There's more grace. There's more provision. There's more mercy than there is trouble. And in our lives, Lord God, help us to rediscover what you're doing. Help us, Lord, to not be distracted by the pressure and the pain that we encounter. Lord, let not even the difficulties keep us from seeing what you're doing. Because, Father, in many ways, sometimes the trouble, when it comes, is an opportunity for us to trust you. All things work together for good for those who love God, who love you, Lord, and are called according to your purpose. We receive this, Lord, that you are our God. We will be still and know that you are God. The trouble's not God. The pressure, the peer pressure, the circumstances are not God. You are God. You reign. You alone reign over us.
Yes, yes, yes.
We reject the dominion of lesser things.
Yes.
We reject the agenda. We reject the force of lesser things. And we receive you.